Very wonderful part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, how Krishna and Balaram enter Mathura. So this is the first time that Krishna had left Vrindavan, and after a very heart rendering departure, Akura took them. So Krishna Balaram on his chariot, Nanda Maharaj and the others took a shortcut through the forest. Then he delivered. Then when they came to the outskirts of Mathura, the Brajbasis were camped. So Krishna bade farewell to Akura there, and they stayed there. So we start from here when just bid Akura farewell. So this is in the 10th chapter, 41st, 10th canto, 40th. First chapter, text number 19. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Atapahani padavan Krishna Sankarsanandita Maturam Pavishad Gopair Vidrikshur Parivartita. Translation: Lord Krishna desired to see Mathura, so towards evening he took Lord Balaram and the cowherd boys with him and entered the city. And here's a very wonderful description of Mathura. Krishna's just come from a simple rural area in Braj. The Lord saw Mathura with tall gates and household entrances made of crystal, its immense archways and main doors of gold, its granaries and other storehouses of copper and brass, and its impregnable moats, beautifying the city were pleasant gardens and parks. The main intersections were fashioned of gold, and there were mansions with private pleasure gardens, along with guild halls and many other buildings. Mathura resounded with the call of peacocks and pet turtle doves, who sat in the small openings of the lattice windows and on the gem-studded floors, and also on the columned balconies and on the ornate rafters in front of the houses. These balconies and rafters were adorned with vidurya stones, diamonds, crystals, quartz, sapphires, coral, pearls, and emeralds. All the royal avenues and commercial streets were sprinkled with water, as were the side roads and courtyards, and flower garlands, newly grown sprouts, parched grains, and rice had been scattered about everywhere. Gracing the houses, doorways were elaborately decorated pots filled with water, which were bedecked with mango leaves smeared with yogurt and sandalwood paste, and encircled by flower petals and ribbons. Near the pots were flags, rows of lamps, bunches of flowers, and the trunks of banana and betel nut trees. A very gorgeous scene. They're very opulent in those days, not like what city today can compare with this, these opulences it was describing of here. So when the news came that Krishna's coming in, then all the ladies quickly rushed out of their houses to see him. And they climbed on the roofs of their buildings, and they were so anxious to see Krishna Some of the ladies put their clothes on ornaments on backwards. Others forgot one of their earrings or ankle bells, and others applied makeup on one eye and not the other. Those who were taking their meals abandoned them. Others went out without finishing their baths and massages. Women who were sleeping at once rose when they heard the commotion, and mothers breastfeeding their infants happily put them aside. So it's very wonderful how the great attachment these ladies had for Lord Krishna. They were so concerned for Krishna that these are the descriptions here are very uncommon and very rare, that a woman could go out with kajal on one eye. It's very rare. You wouldn't see that. Women aren't forgetful. Generally, when they leave their room, they have a mirror somewhere and they look before they go out to see that everything's okay, or one earring, or what to speak of, they're feeding their babies and they just put them down, or just stop their meals or stop their cooking. Such great attachment for him. And they hadn't even seen Krishna. This is the first time they were to see Krishna. So they're just simply by hearing about him, they had developed so much love for him already. So that means they were very, very, very pious births. Of course, they was in the Yadu dynasty and Vishnu dynasty, so they weren't ordinary people. All these residents Krishna took with him to Dwarka when he built the city Dwarka. Then overnight he mystically moved all of the residents of Vrindavan to Dwarka, where they lived with him. So it means they were all devotees previously, and simply by hearing out about Krishna, awoken that ecstatic love for Krishna. So then the lotus-eyed Lord, smiling as he recalled his bold pastimes, captivated those ladies' mind with his glances. He walked with the gait of a lordly elephant in rut, creating a festival for their eyes with his transcendental body, which is a source of pleasure for the divine goddess of fortune. The ladies of Mathura had repeatedly heard about Krishna, and thus, as soon as they saw him, their hearts melted. They felt honored that he was sprinkling upon them the nectar of his glances and broad smiles. Taking him into their hearts through their eyes, they embraced him, the embodiment of all ecstasies, and as their bodily hair stood on end, they forgot the unlimited distress caused by his absence. Of course, they never met him, but simply by hearing about him, they become so attached that simply by, he says that distress is caused by his absence. Not that they were ever in his presence, not physically, but still they was in great, removed that distress. We experience a similar thing sometimes when Srila Prabhupada came. Whenever Srila Prabhupada came, then the whole consciousness would lift up of the place, or here in my part, I'm talking about. Then it happens everywhere, wherever the pure devotee comes, then by his potency, the whole consciousness goes right up, and all those little, petty things and petty arguments and things that we have with each other, and they all vanish. All those little, anxieties, our day-to-day anxieties, they all vanish. The whole consciousness goes up to a much higher level. So we could experience a little bit with the pure devotees like that. So what to speak of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as soon as they saw him, such a great relief, a great burden was lifted from it. Because now you're looking at the embodiment of all rasa, Krishna, the whole spiritual truth. You come into the spiritual dimension then. So that's why they felt so. So it shows that simply by hearing about Krishna, and then they began to glorify the gopis. How fortunate the gopis are. They see Krishna every day. And what a feast, what a festival for our eyes is seeing Krishna. The gopis, they see him every day. They're so fortunate. And Krishna's coming, and he's walking very nicely, and he's looking at the ladies and smiling, becoming like a dramatic actor, thinking of his wonderful activities. So very, very, Krishna's very captivating. Then, as they're walking, then they saw the washerman, who's been dyeing some new cloth for Kamsa. So Krishna says to him, please give suitable garments for the two of us, that means him and Balaram, who certainly deserve them. If you grant this charity, you will undoubtedly receive the greatest benefit you give to us. And that person became very angry, became very indignant. He said, you impudent boys, you're accustomed to roaming in the mountains and forests, yet you would dare to put on such clothes as these? These are the king's clothes you're asking for. Fools, get out of here quickly, otherwise, if you value your life, go away quickly, otherwise, Kamsas will arrest you, take away all your property, you'll be finished. Because he spoke like that to Krishna, because Krishna became very angry. And then Krishna gave him a karate chop, and took his head right off, nonchalantly. Oh, he was angry. And his head came off. Then all the other washermen, their assistants are carrying, they said, wow, they all dropped and they all ran away, saved their lives. So then Krishna, Balaram, then they opened the baskets or the bundles, and they got all the best, you know, fantastic cloth, which is meant for Kamsa. And they dressed themselves very gorgeously. And then all the other boys took whatever cloths they want. Then they left the rest there. And then then a weaver came. And he fixed Krishna up very nicely. He made him, adjusted his cloth and gave him new cloths. Some cloths, soft silks, and some things with, you know, fancy borders, gold, and some like jari, very shining, and made him look very nicely. And he dressed them according to the clothes they had, perfectly matching and matching their color. And it says Krishna and Balaram resembled a pair of young elephants, one white, one black, decorated for a festival occasion. It's like the Gulab, Vishnu Priya and Lakshmi Priya, with a headdress and a nice ornament. So Krishna was very pleased, and he blessed him. He said after death he would achieve liberation, he would attain a form just like the Lord's. And while in this world he would enjoy supreme opulence, physical strength, influence, memory, and sensory vigor. In other words, he would enjoy life very nicely. He'd be very famous, very powerful, very rich, and he would enjoy life, have a good time, powerful senses. And at the end, he would go back to Godhead. So that's Vishnu Chakrabarti says that Sarup, that he said he gets the same form as the Lord. Vishnu Chakrabarti mentions he'll get a body of a gopa. So he goes to Golok Vrindavan because of his spontaneous endeavor to serve Krishna, you know, to beautify Krishna, to glorify Krishna. So then Then he went to the house of the garland maker, Sudama. And then he, his great devotee, immediately stood up and bowed down, put his head, offered him obeisances, washed the feet of Krishna Balaram, and then worshipped them with agya, which is a very auspicious ingredient, and give them garlands, betel nut, palm, and other chandan, and glorify them that my birth is now sanctified. My forefathers are all delivered, they're all satisfied with me. It's very auspicious that you are here. You are the ultimate cause of the universe. Please understand, Krishna Balaram, you have descended with your plenary expansion. Here, because you are the well-wishing friend and the super soul of the whole universe, you regard all with unbiased vision. Therefore, although you reciprocate your devotees' loving worship, you always remain equally disposed towards all living entities. Please order me, your servant, to do whatever you wish to be engaged in by you